So here's a hot take on this is that ChatGPT, it's not going anywhere. So we need to help students understand how to use AI to do amazing things.
You're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This is our district talk segment where we interview district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday shine online. Now, let's get back to the interview.
I'm Don Austin, Superintendent of Schools for the Palo Alto Unified School District. We have 18 school sites serving about 10,300 students in the city of Palo Alto, home of Stanford University.
All right. So hello, everybody. My name is Angel Rivera. I'm the superintendent of Mesquite ISD, a little suburb of Dallas, south corner of Dallas. We have 52 schools in our district, and we serve 38,353 students.
All right. So my name is Jason Perez, and I am the superintendent for Deer Creek Public Schools, which is located in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is just outside of Oklahoma City. We have 9 school sites, and that spans over 72 square miles with a little over 7,600 students.
The first question for you is, how is your school district approaching ChatGPT?
Yeah, so, you know, again, it starts with modeling. And I wrote to over 20,000 stakeholders 2 weeks ago and said that Palo Alto Unified is going to fully embrace not only ChatGPT, but artificial intelligence tools in general. I think it's really important to know that the same week I was working on ChatGPT and thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen, there were 100 artificial intelligence programs that were developed the same week. So let's remember, it's just scratching the surface. Right now, I'm meeting with students to get their thoughts about not only how they're using it, but what they think of it and redefining what is cheating, what is aiding, some of those questions that we're going to really need to rethink. Organizationally, within the actual operations of the district, I'm sharing it in every setting I'm in within our school district to say, well, if you need an editor, it can be an editor. If you want to start real low level, if we want to start brainstorming, it's a great brainstorming tool. And more recently, I'm using it to analyze data and to not only analyze data, but then asking questions such as, if you were a parent, what would be the most interesting thing that came out of the data that you just analyzed? Again, it's not a cut and paste, but it's a brainstorming. And in the last question, I did an exercise like that just recently and gave me back 3 bullet points. One of them blew my mind. In fact, I had to write back in and say, how did you reach that conclusion? And it gave me the methodology. I was like, I understand data at a school level about as good as anybody. And I would have never seen that piece of information jump out until it put it in front of me. And then I was able to go back and look and see, does that pass my test for what makes sense? And it was yes. So earth-shattering stuff right now. I think people who are not using it or at least learning about it are going to be way behind quickly.
So I'll be completely honest. We were not proactive, even aware of ChatGPT until I went to a superintendent training session. We did not address it proactively. So we're now reviewing. And last week we had a meeting where we said, okay, what are the potential problems that this brings? But I also asked, what are the potential opportunities that this brings? Because I tend to look at things 2 different ways, problems and opportunities. And I think there's more opportunities. But within these opportunities, there needs to be a pedagogy change in the teacher's approach to teaching. So we're looking at how we can change our approach. Maybe you do more things in the classroom in terms of rough draft and the basic skills, because it's really we're seeing the challenges more in the English classrooms, kind of like teaching English, because you can produce a complete literature piece, an essay in no time using ChatGPT. But how can we do more of that in the classroom where even then the kid can actually use ChatGPT to maybe review and learn some things? Because as long as it's used as a learning tool, we can leverage that to get best. Because when you get to the workplace, it's going to be a tool. I actually composed a memo the other day utilizing ChatGPT. It was way better than what I would have produced. And then all I had to do was change a couple of things. So it's a time saver. But if how do we leverage it to be a learning tool? And I think we can do that by having the fundamentals addressed in the classroom in front of the teachers, and then even providing it as a tool to then go back and perfect what your rough draft would actually look like.
So here's a hot take on this, is that ChatGPT, it's not going anywhere. So we need to help students understand how to use AI to do amazing things. This, to me, harkens back to the whole debate about cell phones at school. You know, I remember as a building principal, you know, this really became kind of a breaking point where you had people that were hardcore, phones should not be in schools whatsoever. And they were constantly battling that with students who were saying, I want this in with me. And the parents were saying, I want this for safety. And then you had principals that are going to work with their teachers to say, hey, we've got this tool. How can we leverage this tool in an educational way? And I think that's really where we're going to be pushing with ChatGPT and other AI programs similar to it. I mean, now, this is going to be hard in the classroom. So I've read where teachers are using ChatGPT to write lesson plans and then go through the AI and tweak those lessons for the classroom. Let's teach the students to do that with their homework in a way that can be engaging for them, but also still accomplish the learning goals. And we're early in that phase, but it's something where it's better for us. Let's go ahead and just tackle this thing because it's not going to go away. So let's not fight against it. Let's see how we can make it an ally.
Love your answer there. I so agree. My next question about GPT is, are there any positive use cases that you've heard from students around ChatGPT?
Yeah. With the students I was just with, they said that they even have classes right now that start with brainstorming activities in small groups, and teachers have said, go ahead and use it to help the discussion get started. Oh, if it spits out 4 ideas on a topic, that doesn't mean the work is done. It's going to be the new starting point. And, you know, as a beginning, if that's it, put this in, get some brainstorming ideas. Okay, group, talk about the 4 things that you got out of whatever prompt you put in. Fine. In the future, it might be, okay, you got these 4 things. What questions would help refine and get you a better response to have a deeper starting point? I think that this thing's going to evolve in ways we can't even imagine right now. I will tell you that when I spoke with our student group and said, we need to get some rules and some parameters about how we're going to use these tools, a student, a sophomore, raised her hand and said, Dr. Austin, respectfully, by the time you come up with the parameters and rules, it will have evolved to a point to where those rules and parameters no longer even make sense. And I had to laugh. She's totally right. So I think trying to keep up or get in front of or put walls around it is just, it's a poor exercise, doomed to failure.
Yeah, I think it's still really in these early phases for a lot of students where they're kind of experimenting on their own. And it catches some teachers by surprise where they're not exactly sure how to be able to respond when they come across these situations. And nobody is really like openly saying, hey, let's find out how we can use ChatGPT to really benefit our classroom learning environment. We're not there yet, but I think we can get there pretty quick because, you know, as we're looking into this new generation of teachers coming into the classroom, like they're wanting to leverage technology. They know how to do it. They don't need the amount of training that some of our veterans have had because this is the language they've always spoken. So they're more open to trying to be able to use these new ideas in their classroom and make it work for them. So that's a long way of saying that we haven't had that personal experience with it yet, but really are eager to be able to have those stories to tell in the future.
Last question I have for you on ChatGPT. With regards to ChatGPT, are you changing any of your techniques for grading students or the types of assignments being used in the classroom?
Yeah, I think next semester for sure. I told you we've formed the ad hoc group on parent involvement and engagement. The second ad hoc is artificial intelligence, period. And we're really going to talk about, again, not trying to regulate, but how should we appropriately use? And here, we are uniquely positioned. So I know that we're going to have family members who are very much in this world, not only using, but designing. they're going to be the experts to come in and tell us, here are some places to start. We already have some early adopters. As far as a school district, you know, we're probably near the front on that end. I don't think it's always prudent to be first to something new, but I think in this particular case it is. So we're going to work through that with common sense, with playing with it. Gosh, every time I touch this thing, I learn something new and can apply it in a different way and have a conversation with somebody else. So even our own thinking is evolving and we're behind. So I don't know. I've seen a lot of tools over time. There's nothing that's excited me like this that I've seen in my entire career.
Right. So in my previous response, I've talked about what we're doing we're gonna first start with the pedagogy, how we're teaching. And of course, then that's going to go into the grading. And so we haven't tackled that yet. We're talking about those things, but we started with the pedagogy. But if you change the pedagogy, you will have to for example, in the example that I gave you, we're changing the basics about the techniques of writing. I will give you a grade before I send you home to polish your assignment. So when it comes back as a final product, you may not have used ChatGPT. What are the changes? And I'm more interested as superintendent about the lessons learned in terms of after using that as a student versus what the final product is. Because when I came to the United States as an emerging bilingual kid, I learned more through what was the difference between what I created in terms of the writing piece and the final product. And I looked at the differences and that taught me how to write. My first writing sample in the doctoral program was a F. It was a 20. And then I finally learned the mechanics of writing through my mistakes. And I think ChatGPT can be used the same way. It's just a faster way because I don't have to wait to turn it into the professor, wait until they grade it, get it back. I can actually get my sample and the AI produced sample and make some connections and learn some lessons quicker than when I went to school.
So our assignments and our assessments have become more digital as a result of this shift. And so we really strive to find that balance between what should be digital and what is best to be kept as a paper pencil format, because you still need that. That's not going to go away either. There are a lot of things, especially in the elementary, where they need that that exposure to paper pencil as well. So programs such as Mastery Connect, Performance Matters, are examples of digital platforms that teachers can quickly use to assess students on state standards. The pandemic has drastically increased the number of companies that are developing products to close achievement gaps through digital offerings. And these platforms are expensive and they don't always actually do all that as advertised. So these platforms, it can be overwhelming for our teachers and curriculum leaders to find time to deep dive and assess digital programs to ensure the quality products and services are used with our students. But once they're implemented, like, are we going to use these things with fidelity? And that's kind of the bridge that we're crossing right now is, if we've got a product, we believe this is going to be a good product, can we use it with fidelity? Can we offer substantial training and retraining so that fidelity stays at a high level?
Thanks for listening to our SmartSocial.com podcast. I'm your host, Josh Oakes. This was our District Talk segment where we interview school district leaders to learn how they're keeping students safe on social media so those students can someday launch into their future by shining online. This episode was brought to you by our SmartSocial.com VIP program. It's called the Very Informed Parent Program, which helps you engage your students with teen-led video lessons. Stay one step ahead with our premium parent newsletter and discover hidden features on trending apps on teens' phones and our 54 plus live parent and student friendly events every single year. You can click on the link below to chat with one of our team members if you want a free pass to our VIP program to support your community with our smartsocial.com resources. And if you're a district leader who has a success story, we would love to feature you on a future episode. You can click the links below to reach out. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Have a great day.